Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo. With me as always...
171, it's time to have fun. Hello, filthy animals. My name's Ben Vanel. Don't expect that bit to be back next week. Joining us on the end of the table...
Check the tape on episode 71 and see whether or not... That was exactly what Bennett said for 71.
I don't think that bit existed then.
Began in the early hundreds, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
I should have known that when you asked us just before the episode started what number this was, that was a loaded question. I thought you were just, you know, just satisfying some just general curiosity.
Yeah. I should have said, because I told you, oh, it's 171. I should have said, oh, it's 90 orange.
Yes. 30 purple.
What inspired you to bring the bit back?
I was trying to think as we were kind of getting ready, what bit do I have to start the episode?
Right, and you did have a lot of time to think.
Yes.
So it's no wonder that was such dynamite.
I had to delete several previous episodes of podcasts I'm involved with from this SD card in order to free up enough space. And like a hero, I took 20 minutes to delete three.
Yeah, previewing little bits of all of them. Mm. So us sitting there watching you listen to yourself on my laptop.
Yep.
And one of those things that you can really enjoy when it's not you because you know how excruciating it is.
Hated
when it's
it.
You. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like being responsible for a group of people hearing me say, hello, everybody, Austin Flanders from another podcast.
Yep.
I'm not happy about how my day's going. It's been a shit day, actually.
I had a shit day as well.
Yeah.
I've had a shit 2 days.
I reckon I've had a shit 100, dickhead.
Whoa. Yeah.
I 100 up to you.
Yeah. Well, guess what? 171, it's time to have fun.
Yeah.
Well, I got 70 more days.
Okay.
No, I don't know. It's been like, oh, it's just a stressful time of year and everything. Like, yeah, weird few days. But I've had some time to fit in a couple of games.
That must be nice.
Yeah. I have not had that time.
And literally one game, and boy, did I feel stressed the whole time.
Yeah,
playing.
I bet. Yeah.
But I did it.
Let's give a quick plug to the Patreon, which we have recently rebranded. You get a new episode every week. It's it's us dicking around after we record this, talking about all sorts of other stuff, not strictly video games. Lots of great feedback on those so far. So, yeah, head over to our Patreon that you can find on filthycasuals.com.au. For $10 a month, you can get an extra ep of this every week.
We just did the Oscar noms, which basically just was a lot of movie
It's
chat.
What we're going to eat during the Oscars. Oscar noms. Ladies and gentlemen, please accepting the award for best joke early in the episode.
Interesting. You went that direction.
Marlon Brando couldn't be here.
Yep. What was his one?
He sent up someone from a Native American group to accept it, to talk about the plight of the Native Americans.
Right, that was the best joke.
I believe they booed her. No, the best joke was... That's my Marlon Brando impression.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. That's good.
Yeah.
I've never heard Marlon Brando speak, so as far as I know, that's the best impression of Marlon Brando
that's it.
I've ever heard.
He's such a well-respected actor.
Yeah.
Because he sounded like a drain. like that sounds nothing like a drain. You know what I meant? Like a garbage disposal in a sink.
Like a gurgling pipe?
No, like a garbage disposal.
Here's a question for you. Do we have them in this country? Because I have never seen one outside of in a movie or cartoon.
Let me introduce you to my rich Turkish uncle.
Here we go.
And I'm looking to marry up.
And what's his name?
I don't want to say his name.
Okay.
Well, but it'd be easy to find out. His name's Tashkin.
Okay.
And he had definitely garbage disposals at his house. He had the first fridge with an ice dispenser on the outside.
Oh, God. Damn.
Back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. He had Porsches. He made a lot of money from the textiles industry.
That's cool.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Is textiles drugs?
Yes.
Yeah. No, they like clothes.
Right.
Right.
He's involved in the manufacture
of clothing. Does he like Turkish Delight?
That's what... That's he said.
That's his porn name. Yeah.
I was trying to figure out something that would be at the same time sexual but not racially offensive.
Right.
Sure.
And I've never heard a sentence that is neither.
I think the best thing about our Oscar Noms episode was that we did it completely by accident.
Yes.
We just like started recording and then 5 minutes in we're like, oh, by the way, the Oscar Noms came out. Should we talk about them? And then that was the entirety of the episode was us going through it. No plan. Can you plan to be this inept? You absolutely cannot. It happens purely organically.
But that's it. You want to listen to us unscripted and uncensored?
Yeah. Away from the bloody broadcasting standards of this show where we have to watch what we say. Yeah, The FCC, they come down and it's like a ton of bricks.
Away from the bloody broadcasting standards. Oh, sorry, that's your line that I'm rereading. I apologize. I'll go to my next line of this scripted podcast. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tommy.
Let's cut through the red tape. That's a good read.
What do we got this week,
boys? Oh, before we move on, live show also.
Yes.
You mentioned the Patreon. You also mentioned the live show. You didn't read the script,
I forgot
did
that
you?
They're a package deal.
Yes. February, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
February 23rd, 7 p.m. at the Cooper's Inn, a lovely little venue.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a live show and some stand-up comedy, $25. There'll be friends, there'll be frivolity, and there'll be maybe some talk about video games?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. We're going to do Chimp Cop, we're going to do some sketches, we're going to do stand-up. What about this? I was going to say this to you off air, but fuck it. I've played nothing this week, so why not just spring some gotcha journalism
just
on you?
Just to let everyone know, I have played a game.
Yes.
We will be discussing it later.
Let's say quickly now that Kingdom Hearts 3 came out yesterday, and none of us has had a chance to play it yet, which is unfortunate that this is coming out the week of that huge game that everyone seems to be talking about.
Yeah.
There will be no discussion of that game whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam, I'm going to have to request that you make Kingdom Hearts the cover image of this episode just to make sure that this bit really annoys the fuck out of people.
All right. Well, what if I just put a generic Mickey Mouse on there?
Oh, yeah.
So that it's like, well, we didn't actually say it'd be Kingdom Hearts.
Sure. Yeah, and then put Resident Evil 2 in small font.
I'm not going to do that. I'm so excited to talk about Resident Evil 2.
Okay. All right. But what about for the live show? Because I've got a bunch of games that I need to get around to selling. And I was like, I got to put them on eBay. I don't really know if I can be, you know, it's such a headache doing all that stuff. And I was like, I should just like sell them to listeners of this.
Yep.
What if we have a little swap meet at the live show? If you've got stuff you want to get rid of, bring it down and we try and work out a way where Filth can just exchange things or sell things to each other.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be cool.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It bring
no
down
one's
some
their grubby mitts on my shit. But I'll steal a bunch of stuff off of people.
Well, I like the idea of
that's
us
how
running
swap meet works at all.
Yeah, it's I call it a pocket grab.
I like the idea of us running like an old school computer swap meet. So if you've got some burnt CD-ROMs of South Park episodes, feel free to bring them down. If you've got some old motherboards that you definitely stole from a warehouse, bring them down as well.
Yeah.
If you've got the real story of JFK that you can tell me whilst looking over your shoulder.
Yep. Just assorted cords all tied up.
Yep.
No one's really sure what they do. For some reason, they're $50 for just a huge box of them. Bring them down.
All of our dads will be there. We'll be holding their hands the whole time.
Cans of Coke
for
$3 a pop.
Original Star Wars action figures.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll put like...
The figure is about 12 minutes of action in Star
Wars.
Hell
yeah.
Nice. We can hang up a sign that's like the Filthy Casuals Town Hall.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then it's like the live show is just this like entertainment that's happening at the swap meet.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to burn a bunch of pirated games.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's fucking do it. So, news for this week.
Mm.
This is a very small thing, but the piranha plant has gone live in Smash as
I've
of today.
I've heard you pronounce piranha.
Piranha.
Differently piranha. Every time. Piranha.
Yeah.
Piranha.
It's piranha. piranha sounds a bit posh, don't you think?
That is how it's pronounced.
Is it how it's pronounced? I always thought it was like you had a choice.
No. It's not like dance and dance.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's what, yeah.
No, it's a piranha at all times, I'm pretty sure. But there is a suburb here called Paran. But it's
Paran. Yeah, Paran. Yeah. I'm strict on that one. Yeah. Because I grew up near it.
Because if you said Paran, that would be posh.
That would be
disgusting.
And maybe
that's why you're saying piranha.
Yeah. Piranha plant.
Piranha plant.
Piranha plant.
Piranha the rapper.
Wow, I didn't think there was going to be much in this, but look at us go.
It's a piranha plant.
Piranha plant.
It is a piranha plant. Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Tell you what, the English language, crazy. You know what's a weirder language? Every other language, as far as I'm concerned.
Wow. Racial and sexual.
Hell yeah.
Already seen some discussion online about whether it's appropriate to gender the piranha plant or not.
Oh, interesting.
Right. Yeah.
Well, piranha plant is the female. Piranha plant is the male.
Piranha plant would be the male.
No, piranha. Piranha. like Ryan.
We should have.
It doesn't sound like Ryan, like Arnold.
Is this the new
Arnold?
Oh my god!
And Piranha Anna.
Is this the new Laurel and Yanny? Which one do you hear when you listen to the podcast? Do you hear something good, or do you hear three tedious cunts going around in circles?
Tedious cunt. I hear Yanny.
At least this is just the table read for the script. We'll do another draft.
Yeah,
yeah.
We'll do some rewrites.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll get some guys in to punch it up. But yeah, I'm just going to say he.
It's a plant.
It.
Do plants have genders?
Yes, they do. Yeah, okay. Yes, they absolutely do.
Yeah.
I'm not equipped to, like, this sounds like we're on the way to this turning into a Jordan Peterson fucking Joe Rogan episode. We're like, well, plants have genders, so humans are plants.
Of all the stupid stuff we've said on this pod, it'd be sick if this was the thing that got us in trouble.
Yeah.
Gendering a fake cartoon piranha plant.
Piranha plant. The piranha plant
is a man.
I have no idea. I would guess it was female for some reason.
Imagine if you feel the strongest
if I think
about
it. That's automatic to me, is it goes straight to being.
There's like a Venus flytrap.
Yes. Yeah.
And Venus is a female association.
Also, it's La Piranha plant.
Ah, yes.
Imagine someone listening to this who the most strict things they have are gender nonconformity and pronunciation of things.
Ooh.
This bit would be driving you absolutely up the wall.
This is unbearable. The piranha plant.
Mm-hmm.
I love Kirby's little outfit.
Yeah.
Mm.
When the piranha plant gets sucked up by Kirby.
Very cute.
Little cute little hoodie.
Yep. It's pretty cool. I played through the classic mode as it. God, can't say
now it sounds you bad to say it.
Can't say anything anymore.
Yes. The fact that we've introduced the idea that it might have a gender, saying it now feels really bad.
They.
Ugh. The piranha plant.
Yeah.
But you can't even agree with that.
I can't, yeah. Well,
the piranha plant.
I'm not going to say that every time I'm describing what I did in this game.
PP.
Yeah, this is.
I'm going to pause.
This is PP gone mad.
But maybe this is wrong of me.
Okay.
The way I look at it, I think it's just like you can choose. When you select him on the character select screen, you can and decide.
Okay.
You know? And to me,
he's
a little guy.
Okay.
He's a little snappy little guy.
We can all agree, motherfucker's snappy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both in dress and attitude.
He's cool. Yeah, he's got a cool moveset.
Nice.
He moves around pretty quickly. And, the video where they announced him, I thought, looked super – it's just fun watching him, you know, run around his little pot, kind of moving him around. It's very satisfying.
At the time of listening to this, if you bought the game physically – you've got one more day, if you're listening to this on the day it comes out, to register that copy to get him for free.
Something like that. He was an early he was an early purchase bonus or something.
So
yeah.
If you have the physical copy, you needed to register it for the Nintendo points to get him.
Yep.
So if you're listening and haven't done that, do that and you get it for free.
Now, listeners, take that amount of time that the boys have been talking about Piranha Plant, multiply it by about 100. That's how much time you couple of jabronis spent talking about this in our group chat
today. Here we fucking go. Turn it up, mate.
Just read an email. It all explains it.
Turn it up.
Help me activate Piranha Plant.
This goes back a long way. No, I'm in the right on this.
This goes right to the top.
Immediately. There was an email sent to us by Nintendo with a copy of Super Smash Brothers ultimate.
Correct. Yes. I'm in absolute agreement so far.
Mm. Now, I laid claim to that one.
Yep.
We each sort of, when a game comes through, we go, who wants this?
Yes.
And I said, daddy, likey.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Daddy will take.
Yes.
Now I'm daddy.
Yeah.
And for the rest of the story, that's how I'm going to refer to myself.
Do we have to refer to you that way?
If you interject, that's how you must refer to me.
Okay,
in
daddy.
A legal document, once a term has been set, it's bad form.
You've got to initial every page, daddy.
Exactly. Well, I don't write daddy. I just draw a little coming penis in the corner.
A little daddy.
When cum is coming out of my penis, I go, I'm such a dad right now.
Here's a little clue, though. I don't necessarily have to draw the cup. Oh. Anyway, whatever. This is gross.
Okay,
this is the worst.
So far, I'm in complete agreement with this version of events.
Now, quickly after the email is sent,
mm-hmm.
you decide.
Hang on a minute.
To disappear.
This is taking a turn.
To a music festival, who henceforth the undersigned will be named Little Bad Boy.
Okay.
This is Tommy.
I'm actually okay with this.
So daddy's at home, being responsible.
I hate this now.
Little Bad Boy is off at a music festival.
Is this what you wanted? Are you not entertained?
Little Bad Boy doesn't have a huge amount of phone reception.
So, Little Bad Boy has essentially no phone reception down at the Meredith Music Festival that he's at for the weekend that Smash Brothers came
Which
out.
Which will hence be referred to as Fuckfest 2018.
Fuckfest 2018. So very rarely, Little Bad Boy will step into a pocket of reception at Fuckfest 2018.
What happens to him?
His phone lights up with a bombardment of messages from Daddy, hounding him for this code. Still, to the best of his knowledge, not yet come through.
I would say that there were around three messages.
I think the switchboard lit up.
All containing the same sentence, just sent us several messages, as is the style these days.
Sure.
To send...
A little thirsty, maybe, but...
Well, but there's no data caps anymore, really. There's no message limit.
It's hard to know when a conversation starts and ends now.
You pace out your messages in a conversational sort of way.
When's the last time you said goodbye to someone on Facebook Messenger?
Pretty soon after this, you keep fucking interrupting my story.
Wow.
Okay?
Sorry, Daddy.
I've got a couple of friends that do that to me, and I find it very off-putting.
It's very strange.
Yeah.
It used to, on MSN and shit, you'd say goodbye.
Yeah.
And you go offline.
See ya.
Yeah.
I'm off to do this thing I'm lying
I'm
about.
I'm away from computer.
Because I don't want to talk
keyboard.
To you anymore.
Because it's like if I'm messaging someone late and they just disappear, I'm like, well, you don't need to be bloody... You don't need to be Sherlock fucking Holmes to work out what's happened here. Yes. Someone's gone nine-nine.
Mm. So...
Daddy, continue.
I will, little bad boy. So, at some point,
yep.
And this is over the weekend that it's coming out, which is why I'm like, oh, I want to play it. I've got some spare time.
Mm-hmm.
Little Bad Boy needs to send me these deets.
Yes.
So eventually,
Little Bad Boy got sent it. I think like Friday at midday.
Yeah.
And he did get you. The easiest thing to do was to screenshot the email. And send you that.
Because
trying to forward it was just, it wasn't happening.
It wasn't showing up with the forwarding. So you sent me a screenshot.
Yep.
So that's all I ever saw of the email was that screenshot.
Yep.
From that screenshot, Daddy figured out the code for the game, the fact that the pass for the Finders thing needed to be sent as a separate email.
Yes. Yep.
And that they would figure out at some point how to get Piranha Plant to us.
Yep.
Fuck, I feel weird saying that name every time now.
Yeah.
Piranha Plant. And so... Based purely on Daddy's memory of this one image Daddy saw of Little Bad Boy's email, Daddy remembered exactly the details that were necessary. Now, Daddy didn't know one thing, which they didn't contact Daddy about directly.
Yep.
That they would send Daddy an email.
Yep.
You wouldn't be referring to yourself in third person this much if you weren't called Daddy
now. Of course not. Of course not. Daddy.
Oh.
What Daddy do?
Daddy wrapped his Daddy had received an email with a way to get that piranha plant. So, but they
wait.
Sent
so
it
Daddy
with...
had already got wait.
Daddy has it.
Daddy has it.
Daddy has it.
Well, what the fuck's Daddy carrying on about?
I don't know how they got Daddy's email. A little bad boy's been spreading my email.
No, because it's registered I sent you this, you fucking idiot, because it's registered to your Nintendo account.
Yeah, that's right.
That you
right.
registered the game with.
That's right. That's how they got Daddy's emails. But I forgot that. Anyway, whatever. We had a long back and forth. I'll try out Piranha Plant tonight.
Ben, sorry that we didn't go into enough detail there. God. You must be absolutely left out in the cold on this one. No clue what's going on.
Mummy has no idea.
Yeah, you should be fine. And thanks to Nintendo.
Yes.
Yeah. For sending that on. Because they gave you a code for the Fighter's Pass as well, for the DLC.
Yeah,
all the upcoming DLC.
Based purely on Joker from Persona 5 being on there, I'm stoked about. But you've got until tomorrow to get that Piranha Plant if you want it. Speaking of Nintendo closing things down or time frames running out, they're shutting down the Wii Shop.
Yeah.
Next week. The fun little Wii Shop with the fun music.
Yep.
Nintendo is shutting down the Wii Shop as of next week, so you won't be able to download games or buy new ones or download the ones you already own. So go download them now or you'll not get to play them again unless you pirate them.
Someone sync that up, please.
Yes. It's going. And it's the first big
I'd love
online...
it if it's just different music. He's just remembering. Yes. Sync it up first of all with the Wii Shop music and then sync it up with the Seinfeld music and see which one fits better.
Wii Shop's closing down now. You lose all your games.
It's the first big online shop, I feel like, video game store to shut down like this. Like the thing I'm always fucking banging on about. One day you won't be able to get them. You don't own any of your games. Get a fucking bug out bag and live in a bunker.
What does this mean for people who still have their Wii plugged in and active and are using it? So there is some stuff that's tied to, so if you have any stuff that you bought on there that isn't on your machine downloaded, once this is done, you won't be able to get it again.
I believe that's gone.
Yeah, because I think the big sort of call out this week was like, if you still have stuff that's just in the cloud, download it now because that's it. That's the cutoff.
Because all you've ever really been buying on any online store is the licensing rights to games.
Yeah. Mm.
So once they revoke the platform through which that license exists, you no longer own that license.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's crazy that because it's the virtual console as well.
Mm-hmm. The virtual console's the big because that was the first appeared on the Wii.
Yeah,
I don't think they sold their games digitally at that point on the Wii
Shop.
They
had not like the full ones, I don't believe, but there were a lot of like the Wii Shop specific games on there.
They started getting into sort of like indies and a couple
they
of things
were smaller
like
games like
World
the 360.
Of Goo or something, I think.
I remember buying it's, I forget what it's called, like Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles or something.
Yeah, right.
And it was like
smaller games.
The early 360 live arcade games, there were like limits on the size of them. Mm-hmm. They were all kind of smaller things, but they, like Mega Man 9 was a big one.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff was definitely the eShop. The Wii Shop had a whole bunch of games that only ever got released on there as well. So this also means they're gone.
I mean, there is an easy fix there. Let's say you had a lot of virtual console games that you forgot to, download in time, and now the Wii Shop is gone and you've lost all of them. There is an easy fix. You get a Nintendo Switch online subscription and you just wait between 8 months and 3 years for them to show up in the rotation of classic games that you get on there. What's everyone making such a stink about?
The fact that Nintendo have been the most vicious about taking down emulation sites. As well, like to rip all of those games off of the internet to the best of their ability and then go, and our ones are gone too, you fucks.
Yes.
But
you can buy a SNES Classic Mini.
Kind of, for like to have 30 of them.
Yeah.
It
does suck, and I I'm with you in that it is weird to see this stuff that, you get used to, I can just buy this and then have it forever. That's cool.
Yeah.
Sort of start to be shuffled away. But at the same time, when you are dealing in, you know, bandwidth and everything, I don't really know what the solution is. Like, it does have to go at some point.
For Nintendo, the solution would have been that those virtual console purchases should have come over to the Wii U in the first place.
Yes.
That was crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then all of them should be applicable to the Switch too.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's been the Xbox solution for it, is that everything, or like, so much stuff is backwards compatible.
It's tethered to an account that you then
exactly.
just... Yeah, they have been really bad about that. They did... You could get... I think you could get the games... The virtual console games that you had on Wii, you could get on Wii U.
Yeah.
But for a discount, you didn't have to pay full price. You got a discount.
It was like $350 instead of $10.
Totally. Right. Which is...
To acknowledge
still
that, like,
sucks.
We know you've already bought this.
Exactly.
We can prove it enough to give you a discount.
Yeah, and we're still
going to
fleece
again.
You. Yeah, absolutely.
Crazy.
It's classic them where it's so close to being the right thing to do. Like, there's no... They weren't... I guess the Wii U was an HD console, but like, who cares? You're not getting anything new added onto them. Like,
totally. Yeah. They are so close to the right thing to do every time. And it's just off enough that it makes it almost worse.
100%.
Like a dude saving a fucking baby from a burning building, but he shakes it on the way out. Now you're liable, mate. you were doing the right thing, but you fucked it right at the end. Mm.
So, he did that on purpose?
Well,
he didn't get why it was weird to do,
because he's from the 20s before it existed to shake a baby.
He's grabbed the baby and he's like, we made it!
So,
now, in principle, I completely agree with all of these issues. I think Nintendo is being... money hungry, I guess, is probably the best way to describe it, in not setting up proper infrastructure. I owned a Wii and I couldn't care less. Like, it's fucking
that's
what,
the
15
thing that,
years old or something?
Yeah,
like,
that's the thing
on.
That I do have to wonder is that, how many people are out there? And there would be people, but how many realistically that still have them plugged in that have seen this and gone, ah, fuck. Because they did give you a warning.
Totally.
It's like, this is coming, so get ready. Yeah. Download it and back it all up if that's what you want.
Like, my NES doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
It's an old console and I moved on from it.
Yeah.
Look, at some point everything, you know, deteriorates and dies.
Mm-hmm.
Entropy is real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No matter how often you go to the gym, you're still going to age.
Yeah.
Tommy.
Is this targeted at?
But I don't know. It's that thing of like, it should all just still be there for you. If you've
A lot of things should be that are not.
I think we're all kind of used to that.
But in terms of like a consumer rights thing and the fact that other people literally have done the same thing. Microsoft has games that I purchased in 2005 that I can still download tomorrow if I want to.
I think... PS, you can download. I still have licenses for PS3 games. I believe
a lot of them. Yeah, you would.
Yeah,
you wouldn't be able to download them on your PS4. But exactly.
Yeah, who knows?
And they closed down the original Xbox, and so it's not so much the Wii going away. Because I don't give a fuck if I'm going to play,
Mario Strikers Soccer.
Exactly. Whatever dumb Wii game I bought to see it on there, and I was like, oh, this is bad.
Yes.
WarioWare Smooth Moves.
Or, but even like small, those small ones, My Life as a King.
Yeah.
Those ones that were like.
That was disappointing.
So that sort of stuff I'm not fussed about not being able to play again. It's more the precedent it sets where I don't want, like, you don't own any of your Steam games.
Yeah.
And for like what could shut down one day, especially now there's like this Epic Store and stuff where you can buy games on all these different platforms. There's competition happening. Nothing's going to stay at the top forever.
Yep.
When does all this go away? Yeah, I don't want to die is what I'm saying.
Which is what makes the idea of everything just being streaming make so much more sense, because it's like you're just paying access to a library. Like if stuff gets taken down off Netflix before you got to watch it, it's like... Fuck, I'm annoyed that I didn't get around to watching that yet and now I have to go find it through other means. Mm. But you don't feel shortchanged because it's like, well, I'm just paying to be able to get onto this thing.
Yeah.
I'm paying $8 a month to just have whatever is on here.
Mm-hmm.
Like I read a thing recently.
I get annoyed by that too though, because the thing that I am paying the money for, or like the reason I wanted to stick around is the hypothetical situation 10 years from now where I'm like, huh, remember My Life as a King? Maybe I'll try that again. Oh, wait, I can't. And it'll be 8 seconds of me going, I'll do something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like just having like a membership to a video store.
Yeah.
And then occasionally going in and going, oh, I'll watch that. Mm. And then like if they got rid of it after a month, it's like, okay, well, there's still a shelf of other movies over there.
True, yeah. But then if the library burned down, you'd be annoyed.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Yeah.
So, like, it's more the library burning down than the access to it going, like, you not being able to, it's not there for anyone anymore, which isn't exactly true because you can borrow it really easily.
They brought out three new libraries since then. Are you still going to the old one?
So I agree, that stuff is annoying. And it's happened, iTunes, I saw a thing recently where people have had albums that they've bought or movies that they've bought that have been taken down off there that now they just can't get access to.
Like regional licensing rights have changed and stuff.
And people have tried to get refunds and Apple are just like, nah, sorry. And I agree that that's annoying and it's a weird thought to think of those things just not being around. But it's a very charmed position to come from.
Yeah.
I'm shitty that this library doesn't exist anymore when, like you said, you have access to – it's very easy to lose sight of how much stuff we still do currently have available to us
absolutely.
At the moment. But and not that it makes it less annoying, but it is – it's just a fuck – what a weird – kind of crossover period we're kind of living in with how all this stuff is going to be distributed.
There's other stuff to do now, but it's the same attitude that like the BBC had towards tapes in the 60s. They're like, well, we already aired that episode of Doctor Who gives a shit? Tape over it.
They should nowadays, tape over every episode of Doctor Who though.
But now people are like, oh, I want to watch that episode of Doctor Who. Oh, wait, it doesn't exist anymore in any form.
Yeah.
It sucks from just a preservation point of view
to
completely remove something from the national or the national one nation. The earth should be one nation.
Whoa, one nation. Don't say that.
Yep.
Too loudly.
He is a piranha plant. But the fact that it's for archival purposes not available. Yeah. That's what bothers me.
I think what it says the most about is like a shop like that just going down is just how accustomed we are and are all becoming to just planned obsolescence.
Yeah,
like for me,
absolutely.
I don't have quite the same amount of frustration with it as you do, Adam, because I see it and I go, yeah, of course. It's fucking, it's 10 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Of course it's going down. I was surprised that it had still been up for this long because I'm so used to a phone is done within 2 years.
I find that idea crazy where like, mend your boots.
Yeah.
Anyway. Adam, I've got a message for you.
Yeah.
The things you own end up owning you. And I made that up.
I'm owned by the coolest car in the world. My uncle's Porsche 911. Do you call them 911s or 911s or what are they called, the Porsches?
How many times has it crashed?
Actually, he was not a good driver. And I'm sure remains not a good driver. There's some more news.
Yep.
We'll keep on the Nintendo theme.
Yep.
Metroid Prime 4, they're basically restarting.
Yeah.
Yeah,
In the most earnest and humble video, they just put up this video of, I guess, the director going like, hey, we're making Metroid Prime 4. Oh, boy, we did not like it. Mm. We are starting again. And I felt two feelings. Disappointment.
Yep.
Yes.
Not because they owe me anything, but just because I was looking forward to that.
Same. So, yeah.
To put it on pause
to just
for a
know
longer.
That it's way further along than
Now it's like 3 or 4 or 5 years away instead of 2 or
which is fine. Like work on something for as long as you need to.
Sure.
That was the second feeling I felt was pure jealousy at this group being able to go, hey, we want some more time just to do this.
Yeah.
Like what a fucking awesome position that they're allowed to be in at Nintendo. Like I love that they're letting him do that.
I thought it was cool that they just had the transparent that they made this video with complete transparency because they hadn't said. They hadn't said it was coming out this year. They hadn't said when it was coming out. So they could have just...
No. They had implied it, like, with the release schedule that every other Switch game they've announced has been on.
Yeah.
It was... This was an outlier other than that one Pokemon game.
Yeah. But they could have just sort of said nothing and it's like all of a sudden it just takes a couple of years. Mm. And I mean, the fact that they just... Like, just basically getting up there and going, oh, we don't know what the fuck we've been doing in here for the last year. Sorry, folks. And so Retro are coming back. So they're starting it from scratch.
They're getting rid of the development team and then, getting Retro
in. Or they're changing
some
people in and out.
Yeah.
And, like, basically just resetting the whole project to bring Retro back in, which they were working on something else for ages, apparently.
Yeah.
And there's rumors that maybe this new version of it has been worked on for a while and they waited to see how it was panning out before making this announcement.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Rather than maybe just like, whoops, it's cancelled.
Yeah.
Like if neither had worked, maybe they're like, well, we can't do it.
Right.
But so this, is basically a reset on that process with Retro involved, which is kind of best case scenario, honestly. Getting the original people who made the ones that I really like back on board with Nintendo people and saying, hey, we're taking as much time as it needs.
Yeah.
Sick.
To have the foresight to look at it and go, this isn't good.
Yeah.
And care about it enough and all the rest of it. Like, I would love to see, you know, what it is in this current form.
Yeah.
I'd love to live in a world where they just go, anyway, so it's scrapped and we're starting from scratch. Up on the eShop now, there's a demo, so you can play through the fucked version that we got rid of. Yeah. That would be sick.
It would be cool. I bet it wasn't far enough along that there were like textures on shit even. Mm. I bet it was like one of those kind of very abstract sort of just testing out the gameplay thing. Like, I wonder. There's no way of knowing.
It must have been really fucked to go to make an announcement and for it to be, to go back to the completely back to the start is... Yeah.
Especially when, like, I know it's not all the same teams and everything, but when Nintendo's barrier for quality can release, like, Mario Tennis and ARMS and shit and be like, this can be a tentpole.
Yeah.
And then for Metroid Prime 4 to be below that standard.
Yeah.
Which I consider to be low.
My reactions to this were general ambivalence, because it's like, I wasn't that excited for it. I'll play it when it comes out and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And rage. The inevitable...
Are you ready to rage?
The inevitable double standards that everyone would have, because anytime this has ever happened with any other game, people have been like, oh my God, it's never going to come out. This is fucked. What a bunch of morons. And the general reaction is like, I actually like that this has happened. This is the better version of events.
I think that's slightly
unfair. Just because it's Nintendo and charming.
That's not why. The way that they did it, but like compare it with something like Crackdown, where every time it comes to about 2 weeks before an announced release date and they're like, oh, sorry, everybody. When it comes to like Final Fantasy VII Remake, where they're like, I don't know.
Final Fantasy VII, it was the same situation. They were like, we're not happy with where the project's gone. We're getting a new development team in.
Yeah, but they were so quiet on it for so long and like kind of weird
about it. Metroid Prime 4 wasn't the same.
Like, they've shown gameplay. It feels different.
It's
and not just because of the Nintendo thing.
It's the same. It's the same situation.
Nah. I reckon it's a different situation.
I think it's identical.
I would say
different.
That I think the double standard quite often goes the other way, where they get a hard time for things that a lot of other companies do.
What about the Wii Shop?
I don't know. I mean, maybe that's fair. Like,
if you just take it as pure objective facts, they were working on a game, they announced it, and they've scrapped the entire thing.
I guess maybe the difference is having not shown off any of it.
And exactly. And like showing gameplay footage of it that looks like, oh, I don't know if this is a good direction, and then taking ages. They don't seem like they're not on top of it. Because they're like, here's what we're solving about it. Here's how we're solving it. But with like the Final Fantasy VII Remake, for example, at first they're like, okay, now it's coming out in two parts. Now actually we're starting over again. Now we're not sure of a release date.
So all that is a communications issue.
Kind of, but also it speaks to at least what looks like an issue with knowing the direction to go in. Like with Crackdown, they're like, I guess Terry Crews is fixing it now.
Yeah.
Like,
right,
Crackdown.
Yeah.
Crackdown.
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 Put the Crackdown. You're tearing this family apart.
I think Crackdown's issue is like the idea was never good and they stuck with it.
Right, yeah, and then what are some other like long overdrawn? I mean, Kingdom
Last
Hearts
Guardian?
3, and I feel like all of those ones kind of got a lot of rope for a lot of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like most games that get delayed and delayed, people generally seem to go, "Okay, that's you probably should bring it out when it's."
But
done.
It is, an interesting point. What's the magic? Yeah, what's the magic ingredient that makes people go? Because I don't think I've seen really anyone online in the bunch of groups that I'm in have the shits about this, other than the disappointment of like, I thought maybe I'd be playing that this year.
Yeah.
That's a shame, but happy to wait if it means it being
better.
They've
given a fix. Every time someone disappoints, if they can go, here's how I fucked up, here's how we're fixing it, then you're like, well, okay. If they go, here's how we fucked up and we will fix it, but don't go like... I think the Final Fantasy VII one is the one for me where I'm like, oh, cool, down to at the start, and yep. I've come down to that game will never exist, and I hope it doesn't because I think it's bad probably.
Yeah,
for
right.
For the way they've been talking about it as it goes to being, like, just seeming not to know what to do.
Yeah. But what, yeah. What,
having such yeah. swings back
is that
and
it?
Forth.
What's the
Final
difference?
Final Fantasy what? Fucking 15 having announcing... three more DLCs that'll never come out because they didn't plan them well enough
yeah.
after that game was in development for 10 years. And it makes you go, well, I don't trust that whole company.
But then Final Fantasy 15 was a good game.
It was, and I think, and we said this at the time, massively in spite of itself
yeah,
was a good
yeah.
game. And Nintendo I kind of trust with their back and forth thing. Like Breath of the Wild took years longer than it was meant to, but then came out. It was like, oh, I see where that time went.
Yeah. I think maybe if we had seen gameplay and stuff at this point, people would maybe be more... If we'd seen gameplay and it looked shit...
Yeah.
Right.
And, like, universally pretty...
Which is dumb, though, because it what they've said is, like... And you're right. I think you're right. If we had seen bad gameplay footage, people would have been like, oh, that was bad, and the second go is going to be bad, too, which makes no sense because... That's what is happening. We just didn't see the footage.
But then the flip side of it is that people also would be going, oh, this sucks that they've just caved to what some people said on the internet.
Right.
Yeah. And they're going back and starting it just because of a bit of negative press. Fuck that. It looks fine. Just fix it and get it out.
But I do think the confidence that it shows about your work, if you put out footage of it, suggests that you're like, oh, this is good. And then if it looks bad, you're like, well, you don't know what is good then. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If you show footage of something and it looks like, oh boy, this doesn't look like it's going to be good, like Days Gone is for me.
Right.
Personally, yep. I'm like, well, I know it's early, I know it's whatever, but I don't trust where that's going.
Right.
Because the highlight reel you've shown me, I would consider to be more of a low dark fake
wow.
than a highlight reel.
Oh.
Thank you very much, Your Majesty.
But something like Red Dead ended up getting delayed because they were like, we need more time on this.
Yeah.
Yes. And people didn't care about that.
Yeah.
People were like, oh, again, shame. Want it as soon as I can get it. But I get it. It's going to take time.
Last of Us 2, I've got no fucking idea when that's coming out. Metal Gear Solid 5 took fucking forever.
Yeah,
and then at
yeah.
the end of that, people were like, ugh.
So what are the big examples then when people have really cracked the shits?
With a game getting delayed.
So Crackdown, I feel like Crackdown and the Final Fantasy VII remake.
Duke Nukem Forever was the big one for ages.
Yeah.
Something which you, like... arguably no one really wanted to begin with.
Yeah. I feel like Shenmue 3, from that being announced, people have now gone like, oh, wait a minute, those games were bad at the time.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
This one will also be bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Kingdom Hearts 3 was fucking years.
I saw a good tweet today that was like, as of today, everything that Sony showed at E3 2013 has... finally come out.
Wow. But what, the year after? How long after was like Last of Us 2 and Death Stranding?
But that was saying 2013.
No, I know, but then they're back in that loop again with several other games.
True.
I guess it just takes ages to make games.
They were like 2015, I feel like.
Well, you know what game it's taken about 21 years to make?
What are you looking up?
I'm looking at longest delayed video games, and we kind of covered them all.
Yeah.
Diablo 3 was delayed
11
years.
That's quite long.
Prey, which...
Prey changed
out,
a whole bunch
yeah,
as well.
Yeah,
like,
and then, yeah, look, The Last Guardian, Team Fortress 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny how transparency that it can do good or bad. If it's like people have had the glimpse into how bad it's looking, does it necessarily make them more forgiving versus knowing nothing and people just coming out and going, we fucked it and we need to start again.
Yeah.
Because you can tell whether... I don't know how, but I guess this will sound stupid. When people are transparent, you can see through them. And the people coming out and being
like...
Can
you explain that?
We want to fix the game, but they know that it's a mess. You can see it. And so when people are like, we are fixing the game and we know how, you can see that too.
So the difference between genuinely saying, hey, we are trying to make our art, this piece of art better, versus something where you go, this is spin.
Yeah,
right. This
exactly.
is you covering your
Crackdown,
ass.
All spin forever, and you can see it immediately. You can smell it on Terry Crews' breath.
Yeah.
It's all there. 21 years in the making.
64 billion years in the making is Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Resident Evil 2 remake, just 21. But my goodness, is this a good game.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm fucking, I loved it. So Resident Evil 2 came out. It's on the PS4, the Xbox One, and the PC. Mm-hmm. It is a remake of the 1998 film Saving Private Ryan. It's very good. I fucking love this. It's a remake of the original 2 in the style-ish of 4, but it really feels like a game, like that era of game, modernized in the best ways. They've taken the best stuff that existed at the time that doesn't really anymore, and the best stuff about modern games, and genuinely spliced them together in like this really satisfying, very classic feeling sort of game.
Mm-hmm.
I've played through the first Leon scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Leon Squallheart from the Resident Evil 4 is the... I hadn't played 2 before as well, the original PlayStation 1.
Oh, he's actually... He's Leon the Professional.
Sorry. So, and there's this small girl, Claire. Mm. Anyway, yeah, Leon and Claire are the two characters. There's two scenarios for each. One of them... So I'm not really sure because I've only played through the first one of Leon, which took about 6 hours.
Yep.
All up. And then... You go through, I think it's a completely different one as Claire, and then you flip them and have kind of remixed versions of each of them with the other character in place.
Right.
Then there's unlockable other like scenarios, little ones, and then there's 3 more DLC ones coming out for free. So it's basically a whole bunch of different versions of the same sort of areas and stuff like that.
Right. Yep.
That you go through and replay the game a bunch.
Yep.
Okay.
And then after you've done that, it kind of tells you, like, try and do it quicker, try and do it faster, and I mean, same thing.
More rapid, yeah.
Do it speedier. Hurriedly. So it... do it with fewer items.
Get your fucking fanny into gear.
With haste.
The main loop of it, it's kind of like a Metroid or something like that almost, where you're going through an area, I can't get through this door, let me go find the key, I'll come back. That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so satisfying. It's this really old-fashioned, straightforward, video gamey way of doing it. It's so cleverly modernized and like updated though, where so like the map, for example, every room will be red when you go into it. When there's nothing else to do in that room, it turns blue on the map. You're done.
Mm-hmm.
And just little things like that where it's so thoughtful about how it shows you where to go and what to do
little
in this
quality
way.
Of life improvement.
And it really, it feels so natural and easy and just super, like the whole game is satisfying is the main word. Because it's like it's survival horror again where you've got very limited ammo and the enemies are plentiful and they are powerful.
Mm.
And my goodness, are they tough? But they they're just
and there's heaps of them.
they're very fun to fight though because you really feel threatened by most of them. Like it's the classic zombies. Back to basics.
Mm.
Meatball potato zombie.
Yeah.
Like mama used to die and turn into.
Mm-hmm.
An old classic.
They've brought him back from the dead.
They have resurrected the zombie and brought it back from the dead, Benjamin.
Yes, yes.
These are your granddaddy's zombies. And brother, that's a good thing.
Now you're getting it.
Now you're getting the hang of it.
Classic shambling zombies.
Gary Shambling?
They are swinging from left to right. They're breaking the fourth wall. So it's not in the style of the fixed camera perspective sort of tank control ones of the PS1. It's over the shoulder Resident Evil 4
style. Over the shoulder boulder holder.
Over the shoulder boulder holder. Listen, Mulder, get in the...
Skulder.
Folder.
Ah...
I told her. Anyway, it's.
Wouldn't it be great to recut X-Files and every time he introduces himself as Agent Mulder, the person he's talking to goes, Mulder, I hardly know him.
Yes, absolutely.
Every Scully, episode. I hardly know he. The action is not fast for most of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's more deliberate, make every shot count type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So to that end, the aim is accurate, but you got to take your time. It starts off with like a big crosshair shortening in, and the zombies are really swaying all over the place. So you have got to either not shoot them and conserve your ammo, which is a good idea a lot of the time, or be very accurate with your shots. And that's great for just the exploring times. But then when you get into more of an action-y thing where something's after you, fuck, it makes it hectic and genuinely makes you frightened because the controls... working towards the idea that the game is trying to convey of this
being stressed out and being pushed into a corner in a really cool way. It doesn't feel like you're, I mean, it feels like you're trapped and like you can't do anything, but in a really fair and reasonable way, because you're so used to these controls, you know your limitations. So you don't try and swing around and shoot this thing. You go, fuck, I've got to make a decision of how to deal with this.
Yeah. Like in Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah, except it's like made to be a video game primarily is right. The difference. It really wants you to enjoy yourself.
Now, you said big crosshair.
Yeah.
Like that guy from Donnie Darko?
Yes. I'm assuming there's an angry man with large hair in that film.
No, the big rabbit.
Oh, hair, H-A-R-E.
Yeah.
Well, you've made me piss my human suit over here.
Now, this is a double standard, because if he said that, I'd be furious. But with you, you're such a charming, lovable little scamp that I can let it go.
Because if I take ages to say it, you know I'm fretting behind the scenes.
Yeah, me, I'm just letting it percolate.
I'm sitting back there going, should I do it in a Terry Crews voice? Will that make it better?
I'm taking my time.
So it is just such
I didn't hear anything you said for like a good minute.
It's such a tense, cool joy. It really sucks you in like this super video gamey way, though,
where
you're really thinking about
C+
all the shit the game has in it. That sounds silly, but every part of it takes you in, and you're making decisions the whole time about like, okay, so if I go through here to get to there, maybe I can pick up this thing and come back over here.
Right.
But then
it
introduces these elements so that when you are backtracking, and there's a fair bit of that, it's like, okay, now there's this spanner in the works on your way through. How do you resolve that situation? Yeah. Right.
I did really like in the demo that we all played how compact it all felt.
Yeah.
Like that it's just this like, yeah, it felt like it was really, you know, you're not going to go on this like huge epic journey.
Yeah.
It's just using this kind of pretty narrow framework, but very effectively.
And it does expand, but when it is in that sort of compact mode, and it goes through several compact things and then kind of goes back to them and loops around in this really cool way.
Yep.
And so without giving anything away, because I think the surprise bits where you're like, oh, fuck, now how do I deal with this new element?
Right.
Are cool, but
a rabbit sitting next to me in the cinema.
I bet he's not going to be as interesting in about 15 years.
By the way, after you said that, this is how dumb I am. I was like trying to remember, is there a character in that film called Big Crosshair?
Oh, God. I'm underappreciated.
Simple Tony.
It's great. It's so much fun. It's a classic traditional video game.
Yeah, it sounds
for the modern
era. Like The Last of Us crossed with Super Metroid or something.
It's kind of, I guess so. Yeah, it is. It's the best game elements of a Super Metroid, and it's the best. No, it isn't. It's nothing to do. It's the best presentation elements of Last of Us.
Right,
the story
right.
is awful. I think deliberately in a B movie kind of way.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Jerry Seinfeld's in it. And you.
Every time we make a bad joke, you have to double the speed of this podcast.
It looks incredible too. That engine is fucking awesome.
It does look amazing.
Oh my God.
I've been really looking forward to playing it because, I really enjoyed the demo. It came out on Friday and I went away for a couple of days over the weekend and genuinely was like on the fence about going, because I was like, I really would love nothing more than to just sit in the aircon and just play this all weekend, because I'm really chomping at the bit to get
it. It sounds really, really good. I'm too scared to play it.
Fair enough. It is quite scary at points. It's not like it's tense. It really tries to make you feel put upon and get your heart racing, which works at points. Everything about it just gels together so well. It feels good to play, and it feels like every part of it is sort of there for a reason. And every time you get bored of an element, it brings you a new one.
Yeah.
Which is just the best way a game can be.
Mm-hmm. It's cool to see a remake holding on to a lot of its like sort of design of the time. Which is so long ago now, so much about games has moved on,
completely.
But it all still absolutely work in its favor.
And they know exactly the right parts to ditch and the right parts to keep clinging on to.
Yeah.
And it's definitely a remake of a game from the set, even though I hadn't played
too.
It feels like playing a game from 20 years ago, in a great way though, in a really good game.
In that, well, like we always talk about with the remakes, in the way that you
remember
it being not what it actually is,
It's exactly the right way to do a remake where it felt like a completely new game because I hadn't played the first one, but also because...
How many more times are you going to mention that?
It felt like it could have come out today.
I think he played the first one.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
with a throwback style, but still be brand new. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I love all the enemies. I love all my friends. acquaintances.
Yep.
Hey, come along too. Mm. But Resident Evil 2 is great. Just single player action game. Might not be for everyone if you're a little scared of item scarcity, managing sort of, can I get away with doing this? But it just pays, it needs it out really well. Is that the right word?
Meets it out.
Meets it out. That's it. I was thinking of the word need because I was like, I need to remember this word. I love it.
I think what's most interesting about it is these people, you know, you're fighting against this enemy, these zombies lurching around. Now, I mean, what could be more current in 2018?
Oh, yeah.
You step outside and there's these teenagers on their iPhones.
Fuck, are the zombies
not looking
at their
where
phones?
They're going, just lumbering around. Mm. You know, we're all brain dead from social media.
It's fucking Generation X's. something I love about this game too, it's got so many silly moments in it, but you're in like this big police station that has like secret passageways and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And to explain it away, they're like, oh, it used to be a museum. You're like, oh, one of those secret passageway museums.
Mm. Yep.
Sure.
Was a choose your own adventure book set in that museum?
It really does feel like a Goosebumps book that's turned into... Oh, I love it.
Mm.
I want to play more of it.
Cool.
I think it's a good game. 3 out of 5.
Nice.
Wow.
Nah, 5.
Wow.
Whoa.
It's a... 4. I don't know. Scores are stupid.
Mm.
This game, though, good.
All right. Lights are on. We're gonna bring that back.
Yeah.
Apart from playing 15 minutes with a fucking potted plant today, I haven't really played anything this week.
I tried to play the Anthem demo.
Yes.
As hard as I possibly could.
So our friend and listener of the show, Chuck, sent us a little pre-release code for that.
And friend Lord. Dan as well. But by that point, it was too late.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And, I went away so I couldn't use it. But you tried, Ben.
Yeah.
And, oh, boy, talk us through it.
Well, it took ages to download. It was like 40 gig or something.
To be fair, that's not necessarily this specific game's fault.
No, but for a timed demo, the fact that it took me a full day to download was very frustrating.
It's,
but blame that on bloody Malcolm Turnbull.
Yes, I do.
I was shaking my fist when I said that.
Yeah, I wish people could have seen it. It was great.
And then it wouldn't fucking play.
Right.
So I got it to, like, I'd get to the menu. I'd see a cinematic. I'd see the fucking logos. BioWare. Oh, my God, they're making a new game. I remembered how much I loved that company.
Hey, Ben, they're not just making it. Brother, they've made it.
Yeah, well, it's out in 2 weeks.
I've seen no evidence of it. No, but so I got to the bit where you can pick to be a man or a woman, like Petey Piranha or whatever.
Nah. Uh-huh.
Petey.
Oh, it is Petey, but that doesn't really...
No, Petey's his final smash thing.
Petey Piranha is like the big one with the outward belly button.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
From Sunshine.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can choose to be a man or a woman, and then you start the game, and you wake up in the little hub world.
Oh, good thing I'm in the hub world.
Yeah.
I would have had to travel through World 4 if I'd have woken up somewhere else.
And it looks incredible.
Yeah.
It's so detailed. The graphics are amazing. Mm-hmm. It's first person, that bit.
Right, but then the rest is third.
Yeah, yeah. And so you're walking around, you're talking to people, the interface is great, the dialogue is well written and well acted.
Okay.
And you're walking around, it's like, oh, it's really atmospheric sound. And then you go to your javelin, it opens up like an Iron Man suit, and then it's like, boom, mission select. There's a map. There's
sounding great so far.
Yeah. It's
sounds to me like Ben's having a great time, Adam. What do you think?
I am so far.
And them.
You can... No and them.
Literally no and them.
Yeah. You can turn off... You can make it a private session or public so people can just join your party.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can... There was like a weapon select. You can change your appearance a little bit.
Again,
you can
it's all sounding great. I'm so happy
for you. Edit all of
your
javelin stuff. Yeah. It's clearly like a million unlocks of like colors and paint styles and like... Metal textures.
Yes!
Yeah.
You're in for a treat, Ben. You're about to have the time of your life
Absolutely.
With this game. I can just feel it.
And then you go, all right, start mission. and then it loads and it gets to like 95% complete.
Here we go. He's nearly in, Adam.
And then it stops. It hangs there. Right. It froze. And so every time I tried to restart it, whole process again.
Ugh. And so you're like fully quitting out of the application, going back in.
Restarted my PlayStation a couple of times as well. Yes. Could not get it to launch a mission. I was furious. And then I uninstalled it, the whole game.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, it's going to take 24 hours to download again. I'm out of time.
Okay.
But...
Yes.
What I experienced...
You needed an internet connection? Well, is that what went wrong?
No.
Was it just literally a bug that was unsolvable?
Yeah, it was literally a bug that was unsolvable.
I thought, because before we started recording, you're like, I found out something about it that really annoyed me.
So what I found out that annoyed me... Yeah. And so I ended up also fucking activating this little code to the wrong EA account.
All right.
I ended up buying a pre-order for this to play the VIP demo. So that was all fine. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'll play it eventually. It's all fine.
Yeah.
I found out there's a free open demo in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I think next weekend possibly.
Yeah, I think it is.
Right.
That really annoyed me.
Sure.
I could have just waited a week.
That's the VIP experience. You get like, you pay $200 to get a $50 bottle of free champagne.
Yeah. Sit in a lobby.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it, like, yeah, like I said, it all looked amazing. It was playing really well. The design, it's very like thought out.
Yeah.
Which BioWare sometimes have fucked up even like their menus.
Yeah.
So a positive experience until the point where I couldn't play it.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
Maybe. I still have no idea with that game. I feel like they're being weirdly quiet about it. I mean, I know they put out this big demo and there's trailers and stuff, but it doesn't feel the way I think they initially wanted to make it seem like it should feel. Does that make sense?
I know it's dumb, but from the experience I had, I'm about 100% more positive towards it than I was beforehand.
Right.
In spite of it crashing and you literally not being able to use it at all.
Yes.
That's demos.
Yeah.
There's not much.
That's
you can
so Ben. I love this.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to go play No Man's Sky for 3 days in a row. And that's what I did.
Well, definitely.
Sane person.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a great game, by the way. You guys should play it.
Okay.
Well, I think that's us just about out of time for another week.
Sure.
We'll be back next week. I will have sunk some time into Kingdom Hearts 3, as we said. Let us know in the Facebook group what you're enjoying this week. I didn't really see anything about the Anthem demo in the group.
Like two or three people were like, yeah, it's good.
Okay.
So,
cool.
Yeah.
What else is this week? Is there something else coming out?
Resident Evil 2 is great.
They're not just two big things coming out in a week. Torture.
Yeah.
I can tell you in just 2 seconds.
Okay.
If there's really anything matter out this week.
Yeah, no, I'm playing Kingdom Hearts 3 before next week. I'll play that Anthem demo, I guess, if it works.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. If that's on over the weekend, I'll try that.
Mm.
It doesn't really matter.
Nothing really matters.
Adam, it really doesn't matter.
To me.
Oh, Penguin Wars. Penguin Wars is out.
DeVito v. DeVito.
All right, folks. If you're a Patreon subscriber, we'll see you over on the ep of that. For this week, filthycasuals.com.au for the live show tickets, the links to all the other stuff we do, the premium episodes over on Bandcamp.
Hell yeah.
All the socials, check in on that. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
daddy over and out. That would be something like a dad would say.
Yeah. Little what was I? Little
bad boy?
Little bad boy. I thought I was little dirty bastard.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.